Hey guys, and welcome to True Crime Girl Time. I'm Ansley.
And I'm Brittany.
And you're listening to episode 14. This is take two, because I said 13 the last take. Oh well. Hopefully that's right.
Should
anyway,
be.
Anyway.
Well, technically,
I was actually, about to say.
Technically it is 13, because we had to take an episode down, but that's another thing.
That's another story for another time.
Yeah.
Anyway,
or for never, but either
yeah,
way.
Yeah, let's not bring it up. Anyways. So one thing I want to say is, and I don't know if I've been saying it the last few episodes, is there's no like submit a case on our website, and I want people to use it. So I'm going to talk about it. There's a little thing on our website. If you go to www.truecrimegirltimepodcast.com, there's a little submit a case, and it literally takes like 3 seconds. All you have to do is plug in a link to the case that you want us to talk about, and we will get to it if we want to. But I don't know. I just thought that was a useful tool for you guys, because some people have been sending us little things on Instagram like, can you please do this case or whatever? And I'm like, you should really send this to our website. So use that, make it useful, and we will try to get to your murders. Not your murders, but murders you want to hear. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What else do we have to say?
Podex is 10 days from today.
So freaking exciting. There's a link on our website that you can buy tickets if you want to come and see us in Nashville and hang out with us. So go do that if you're interested. It's on the events tab or the news tab. I think we talked about this last week. I don't really know which one. So just wing it.
One of these weeks, we'll figure it out.
We are not professionals. So, anyways, what else do we have to tell them?
I don't know. Keep joining our Facebook group, because it's, I mean, I have a fun time in there, but
I do too. We've gotten a lot more followers on Instagram too, like 20 in the past 2 weeks, which is really good.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. I mean, I think every day I get anywhere from 1 to 3 follows on our podcast.
Oh, so, yeah. Our Twitter is also thriving.
Are you serious?
No, I'm lying. I'm completely lying. It is trash. I'm sorry.
It's okay. We'll work
we've
on it.
We've had the same like 9 followers that we've had ever since we started the podcast.
Two of them are me. Follow us on Twitter. Go follow us on Twitter. It's a fun time over there. But mainly join the discussion group, because I think that's like where we're most active right now, besides Instagram. Not really active on like our Facebook page group, but we're pretty active on our discussion group. So go find us at True Crime Girl Time Podcast Discussion Group. It's a closed group, and we would love to have you join. So go do that. While you're sitting here listening to this podcast, do it. Do it right now. And follow us on Instagram.
Yeah.
And you can rate and review too, but that can be later. Okay, I think that's all for announcements, unless Brittany thinks of something while I'm saying this.
I don't think so.
Okay. Okay, so I'm gonna start first. Hope you don't mind.
Oh, I guess I will put out a little disclaimer. If I sound a little down in the dumps, it's because I am. A lot has happened in the past 2 days. One of our dogs died yesterday.
Aww.
And so it's just been a really rough 2 days, and I won't get into all of it, but if I sound dead inside, it's because I am right now. So you're just going to have to deal with it. I'm a human just like everyone else is. Yeah. I'm a human just like everyone else is. Everyone has days like this. It's just different because now I'm having to broadcast myself while I'm kind of in this mood or like in this little funk or whatever. So that's the only difference. But yeah, so like give me a break if I'm not like all funny, and not that I'm usually funny. I'm really not usually funny either, but but just cut me some slack for today's episode, and by next week I should be back to normal, I think.
Perfect. Sounds good. I'm so sorry about your dog.
It's okay. I just realized, like, I know that I sound really probably like monotone, and I could hear myself, and I was like, I sound horrible. So I'm just going to explain to everybody. Oh, also, I lost my voice over the weekend. So my voice is deeper than usual anyway. So I'm just having a terrible time.
That's okay. That's okay. We all have those days, unfortunately. I'm going to tell you about some murder. Not that you're already, like, not down in the dumps, but I'm going to make you even more down in the dumps. So
thank you.
You're very welcome. My pleasure. I'm a worker at Chick-fil-A. Anyways.
So is my sister.
Really?
Yeah, my sister works at Chick-fil-A.
Does she always say my pleasure? Like, not even, like, just on accident? Just because she's used to it?
Yeah, like, she says it regularly now. Sometimes she'll catch herself. Sometimes she doesn't care. But she just got a job working at corporate, mm-hmm. like Chick-fil-A corporate for the summer. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I would always say don't bark,
Chipper. He just heard a car door slam, and I know he's about to bark so loud. And he's sitting right next to me, so it's probably going to blow your ears out.
Probably. Just hold his nose.
Oh, I should have explained myself. When I said one of our dogs died, it's not Chipper.
It's not Chipper. Okay, good.
Yeah,
I know it wasn't. If you follow Brittany on Instagram, then you know. Yeah.
Yeah, I know that you know, but I don't want our listeners to be like, Chipper died? No, Chipper's fine. He's right here. He's booling.
No, he just came back from the dead to bark at people.
Yeah.
He's a ghost.
He really would do that, though.
Chipper the ghost.
He would 100% be the one to do that. No. Actually, he would come back and play with his little Mario toy and make noise while I'm recording.
Yeah, and then we would all be freaked out. Then we would have a ghost podcast. That would be kind of cool.
I'm down to spin this any way you want.
Let's do it. I mean, I don't want Chipper to die, but I also want to talk about ghosts, too. Okay, so I'm going to do my story first today, and it is a rather short story, and it's sort of frustrating, but it is a good story. I mean, it's not a good story. You get what I'm saying. This is a freaking true crime podcast. It's not a good story. It's awful. It's horrible, but I'm going to tell you anyways. So, this is the murder of Annie Lay. Have you heard of it?
I don't think so, but it might, like, once you start telling it, I might recognize it.
Okay.
That's what usually happens.
Yeah. One thing I want to say is her last name is spelled L-E, but when I was doing my research and watching some videos, it was pronounced Lay. So I might accidentally say Lee just from reading it, but I mean Lay. Annie Marie Lay was born on July 3rd, 1985 in San Jose, California. She was born to a Vietnamese-American family, and people described her as being extremely, extremely intelligent. Based on her physical appearance, she was 4'11 and 90 pounds, which I was that, like, my freshman year of high school. Maybe not 4'11, but 90 pounds.
I've never been that, so I don't know.
You have at one point, because...
No, I think I shot right past it. I was never...
Oh my goodness.
I just jumped it.
You just jumped it. Okay, well, she was also valedictorian of her graduation... Graduation? She was also... is this going to be one of these weeks?
I think so, but I really hope not.
I know. She was also a valedictorian of her graduating class at Union Mine High School in El Dorado, California. And she was voted as one of two students as the senior superlative of most likely to be the next Einstein. So she was extremely smart. Were you ever a superlative or like named a, in your
superlative? I cannot even believe that you just asked me that. Absolutely not.
Yeah, me neither. Join the club.
No.
Anyway. So
I would have been a bad superlative if I had been one.
I wish that there was like a superlative that was like most likely to start a podcast, because then we would have gotten it.
I don't think I would have won that in high school. I am a completely different person now, I feel like. Yeah,
I think everybody is. Everybody's a little bit different after you go to
I look at some of the people I went to high school with, and they seem pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm.
And then others seem totally different. So I guess it just depends. I feel like the people who are the same were so confident in who they were in high school that they
just never changed.
Yeah, they just never changed. But
they thought that they were already good enough.
Yeah, I don't know. So, yeah, I think people would have thought that I was funnier in high school if, like, I don't know how to say this, if I were me now in high school. That doesn't make any sense.
No, I get what you're saying.
If I were like me now, if I had been like me now when I was in high school, that's what I was trying to say.
Okay, I get
you. That was
you.
Difficult.
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Great.
So Annie was so smart that she actually received $160,000 in scholarship funds, which she used to attend the University of Rochester, which obviously is in New York. I hope I said that right.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
She majored in cell developmental biology and a minor in medical anthropology. Some of you don't know that that is actually something that you study in school and not a store. Anyway.
Oh.
So after,
and it's after a terrible class, by the way. That was my only C in undergrad, was anthropology.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
She applied to graduate school and ended up going to Yale to earn her doctorate in pharmacology. And she spent most of her time in the research lab performing tests on animals, which were mainly mice.
Boo! No animal testing, right? Am I right?
You're right. Woo woo. So anyways, she met a man by the name of Jonathan... Ooh. Wadowski? Wadowski sounds great. And he was actually going to Columbia University for applied physics and mathematics. And I just want to say that if they were to have kids, that kid would have been a genius. Because his parents were geniuses.
Yeah.
So Jonathan and Annie got engaged, and they were planning on getting married on September 13th, 2009 in New York. So, on September 8th, 2009, which is 5 days before the wedding, Leigh left her apartment and got on a transit to go to Sterling Hall of Medicine on the Yale campus. So, apparently, the Yale campus was so high security that they had video cameras almost everywhere on campus. So, Leigh was seen around 10 a.m. walking into the research building, but she was never seen coming out of the building. So by 9 p.m., her friends got a little worried, and they called the police and reported her missing. So police ended up putting the campus on lockdown to look for Leigh. And people honestly believe that she had gotten scared of getting married or had gotten cold feet and had just run away. Which, that's actually like, if it were like a few days before somebody's wedding and they went missing, that's exactly what I would think of. Like, the last thing I would think of is like getting kidnapped or murdered or anything like that. I would just be like, oh, she didn't want to get married, you know?
Right.
So I can see how that was, you know, in the front of people's minds.
Yeah, that probably would have been my first thought.
Yeah. So a little bit of information that I found ironic was that Leigh had actually gathered research and had written an article for the school's magazine about safety on Yale's campus called Crime and Safety in New Haven. So on September 12th, which is just a day before her scheduled wedding, police found bloody clothes in the ceiling of the research lab. And then on September 13th, the day which would have been her wedding, police noticed a strange yet familiar smell to police, which was none other than a decomposing body. So they called in cadaver dogs. Can you imagine just walking, like trying to find this person? And then what, like a few days later, you're walking through the school, just trying to find any clue that you can. And you just start to smell a body. Can you imagine like the thought process that you would have?
That is
rough.
I just
can't imagine that. You know, I mean, by this point, either she's run away or she's just like, I think she's just run away. You know, you never think about murder, but when you smell that, they knew. So they called in cadaver dogs to go through the campus, and they found Lay's body, which someone had taken, had moved one of the ceiling tiles and put inside of the wall. So she was like face down, well, head down, and just like shoved into the wall.
Oh my God.
So medical examiners ruled her death as traumatic asphyxiation by neck compression. And because Dr. Briggs is here, I'm going to give you what that means.
And give it
to me. Thank you, Wikipedia.org, for making me sound smart. So traumatic asphyxiation is a medical emergency caused by intense compression. In this case, it would have been compression on her neck, causing venous backflow from the right side of the heart into the veins and the neck and the brain. So does that make sense? Like where it's so where your neck is so compressed that it just like causes the blood to go back into obviously your head in this case, because this the terminology that I read on Wikipedia was like from chest compression. So but this was from neck compression. So she died. I don't know how I feel about this, because either she died when she was like she was dying when she was shoved into the wall, or somebody like choked her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. So anyways, so the medical examiner said that someone had smashed her into the wall and that she was totally unrecognizable by the time that they pulled her out of the wall.
Ugh.
Okay. I just want to tell you that the way that I spelled unrecognizable, literally, you would probably question if I went to school or not. Anyways. So, Lay suffered a broken jaw.
Okay. It is one of those episodes.
A broken collarbone, and her bra had been pushed up above her breast, and her underwear was down at her ankles. Detectives tested her underwear and found semen on the panty liner that was in her underwear and on other parts of her body.
Yeah.
So, as I said, Yale was a very high security campus, and almost every room or every building would require like a key fob to get in. So they had records of people that were there that day or people that had come into the lab. So, on the 16th of September, police interviewed 26-year-old Raymond Clark, who worked as a lab technician and worked near the lab that day that, Lay disappeared from. So by the end of the interview, police got permission to collect his DNA, and the next day police arrested Raymond Clark for the murder of Annie Lay. He was placed on a $3 million bill into the McDougall Walker Correctional Institution in Suffield, Connecticut. I have no idea where that is, nor how to say it. Anyways.
How's that spelled?
S-U-F-F-I-E-L-D. Suffield? Suffield, right?
That's what, yeah, I would think that's what it is.
If you're from there, I'm sorry. I just butchered your city name.
I highly doubt we have a listener in that city.
You never know. I mean, we could have the people, we could have Raymond Clark listening to our podcast.
Oh, no, apparently we're doing really well in Lithuania. So shout out to our Lithuanian listeners.
We're on the education charts. I just want to laugh about that for a minute. We're on the top charts in Lithuania for education. I'm not really sure that's where we belong, but that's where we are.
I'm not mad at it, though. At least we're charting somewhere. We were charting in America, but not anymore.
Yeah, are you on, like, the daily thing? Like, where they send you an email daily about where we're at on the charts?
I don't know if it's daily.
We were charting in America last week.
Oh, we were?
Yeah, we were. I get them daily.
Oh, I don't get them daily.
It was on Saturday, so.
I get them like weekly. Well, that's cool.
Yeah. I'll just forward them to you when I just feel like it's good.
If it's bad, just pretend like it didn't happen.
Yeah, I just delete the email. Like it never happened. So on March 2011, Clark pleaded guilty in exchange for a 44-year prison sentence on an additional charge of sexual assault when he entered an Alford plea, which in layman's means that he doesn't admit to doing it, but there's evidence against him that will probably weigh against him. Am I right, lawyer friend?
Yes, it is. It's basically like a best interest plea. It's saying like, I'm not pleading guilty. It's just in my best interest to take this Alford plea because there's so much evidence against me. That's
perfect.
What it is.
So I did it right. I did that on my own knowledge. Can you believe that?
You did.
And then I like typed it and then I Googled it and I was like, okay, I'm right. And then I was like, I'll just reaffirm with Brittany because she knows.
I think we recently got some like attorney listeners. So if I got it wrong, I'll figure it out eventually. Just don't tell me.
Don't say anything. Just let me do it.
Just leave me alone.
So bear with me because I want to read what he said at his sentencing. And it's okay. Kind of long and it's kind of redundant, but I want to read it. So he said, I take full responsibility for my actions. I alone am responsible for the death of Annie Leigh and causing tremendous pain to all who loved and cared about her. I am truly sorry I took Annie away from her friends, her family, and most of all, her fiancé. I have always tried to do the right thing and stay out of trouble, but I failed. I took a life and continued to lie about it while Annie's friends and family and fiancé sat and waited. I really never wanted to harm anyone or cause emotional pain to anyone. All I wanted to be was a good son, a good brother, and, red flag, good fiancé. He was freaking engaged. But again, I failed. I blame only myself, and there are no excuses for what I have done. Annie was and will always be a wonderful person, by far a better person than I will ever be in my life. I'm sorry I lied. I'm sorry I ruined lives, and I'm sorry for taking Annie Leigh's life.
So, all right.
Very redundant and
long-winded.
I would have hated him if I was his fiance or anyone involved in this. So this is the frustrating part. He never explained his motive for doing this. There's never been anything on why he did this. And it's just so frustrating. And I can only imagine for the family that it would be so frustrating that you never find out why somebody did what they did.
That would bug me.
Exactly. So a book was published in 2010 by Sheila Sands called A Murder at Yale, The True Story of a Beautiful Grad Student and a Cold-Blooded Crime. And they talk about, she talks about some theories behind the killing of Annie. She talks about maybe it was workplace violence, some rejected advances, jealousy, or even a time when Clark was mad at her for ignoring the lab's cleanliness rules, which he would often do to people using the lab. It also talks about how he might have been on steroids and had some like roid rage issues. But I don't know. I'm thinking about reading that book just to like hear all the theories. We'll see though, because I'm in the process of reading like 4 different books right now. I don't need to add another one. So he won't be released until 2053, and at that time, he'll be 70.
Wow.
So that is the murder of Annie Leigh.
Good job. I never heard of that one.
Yeah, I hadn't either until I was on like one of those true crime groups that I'm in on Facebook, and I was like, oh, I'll do this one. So anyways, I think only a few other podcasts have done it. So it's not a very like known murder, but according to our discussion group, which you posted a poll in about people wanting unknown murders or lesser known murders or the common ones that we all hear about. And so I think today I looked and there was like, it was a ridiculous amount of people who had voted on that, on like the lesser known one. And I was like, okay, I hear you.
Yeah, well, the whole reason I asked was, like, I was looking at our podcast statistics because, I don't know, sometimes I just check on them just to see where we're at. And I noticed that, and really it wasn't even like, it's not like it's this way with a bunch of our episodes. I just noticed it. There's a certain pattern that our episodes have, and I won't get into all that, but there's a certain listening pattern that we have that I've noticed. And the pattern kind of, I guess, got out of whack. And it was, I was wondering if it was because, so I was wondering if we had more listens on a certain episode because it was a more well-known case. So, yeah. But that's why I was wondering. So, and I guess if you're not in our Facebook group, which you should be, but if you're not, let us know. Do you like lesser known stories? Like, do you like hearing stories on our podcast that you've never heard before? Or do you like hearing the well-known stories like Eileen Wuornos and John Wayne Gacy and Ted Bundy and Jeffrey Dahmer and all the rest of those people?
You can tell us on Contact Us on our website when you submit a case too.
Okay.
There you go.
My turn?
Your turn. Okay. No, it's Tipper's turn. Tipper's turn to tell his ghost story.
He would never stop talking. Okay. So my story is the Washington Ouija. Oh, and I already said it the way that I say it. Okay, so a lot of people pronounce it Ouija, like it's spelled. Some people, I hear it, sometimes people say Ouija. I say Ouija because I'm from the South and we say things and people don't like it. So I'm going to say Ouija. So it's the Washington Ouija board murders.
Ooh, sounds creepy.
Yeah, I read that and I was like, I like that. I'm going to do that. So just some backstory for anybody who doesn't know what a Ouija board is or has never used one. Ouija boards are usually used to gain knowledge about the future through, like, supernatural means. So you ask the board questions about the future, and it's, I feel like, I don't know this for sure, but I feel like it's particularly like your future. Like, I asked questions. I used a board one time and I asked questions about myself. So,
I mean, did it have the right answers?
Well, those things haven't happened yet. So, I'll let you know if I die in a car crash when I'm 53.
Oh, yeah. You told me this one. Shit.
Yeah. Or, I don't know. It said like in the 50s. In my 50s, I'm supposed to die in a car, so I'm not there yet.
How would you tell me if you were dead?
Well, if you don't die before me, you'll know that I'm dead.
So that's your way of telling me?
Yeah, you'll know.
I was just thinking, I was like, how would she tell me? Which, obviously, those things aren't gonna happen.
I mean, I hope not. I don't really want to die in a car crash. But anyway, so Ouija boards gained popularity because Milton Bradley started marketing and selling the boards, like, along with all of their other popular games in, like, big box stores. And it's almost become a rite of passage for teenagers, which I can attest to because I did it when I was a teenager. So, and I want our listeners to let me know about their Ouija board stories. If you've played with a Ouija board before, and I shouldn't use the word play because it's really not a game. You know what I mean. So if you've ever used a Ouija board before, I want to hear your stories. I guess I've told like part of mine. There was a lot more to it, but it's really irrelevant. But yeah, so send those in to us. I want to read them. And maybe we can read them on an episode if they're good stories. Cool.
Yeah, I've never done one. Stories. I was always told it was awful. And it was witchcraft. Here I am doing a true crime podcast about people that get murdered.
Well, I don't think my parents are proud.
I know, but still.
But I don't know. I can't really speak to whether it's witchcraft or whether it's someone in your group pushing the thing or not, but either way. So, but it is an experience. So if you do want to experience that, I'm pretty sure they sell them at Target. So you could just go buy one there. So yeah, so that's what a Ouija board, if you did not know what that is. But this is a story about how a Ouija board led to murder.
Murder. Red rum.
Okay. So, another quick disclaimer. One of the people in this story has a difficult last name. So, that's the second week in a row. So, I'm going to say his last name once, but I'm going to refer to him and everyone else in the story by their first name so as to not get them confused by calling someone by their first name and someone else by their last name. So, okay, so we have Donald Galklin, and he's 15. And his friend, Joshua Tucker, who's 16, they were out Christmas shopping to find a gift for Donald's mom. But while they were out, they couldn't find anything for her. So instead, Joshua, the friend, told Donald that he should buy a Ouija board that they had seen earlier, like in the shopping trip.
Wait, for a Christmas present?
No, like they were saying, well, since we couldn't find anything for her, why don't we just get something for us?
I feel like that's always how my shopping trips go. When it's like a holiday coming up, I'm like, oh, I find more things for myself than I do for other people. And that's so bad. But I just like, I'm like, I have to have it.
It's like, you know who would really like this? Me. So they bought the board and they took it home with them that night. And Joshua was staying with them for a few days. Not sure why, but so Joshua was spending the night with them. Well, like with Donald's family. So, according to a police report, it said that Joshua's behavior changed after they bought the board. And I think that was from Donald saying that. He started telling Donald about how he fantasized about raping and killing people.
What?
Yeah.
Ew.
And
this
also,
kid is how old?
16.
Okay.
Because it's Joshua is the one saying all this. And Donald is 15. So that night they were apparently drinking a lot of alcohol while they were playing with the board, which I wouldn't suggest that to a person who can legally drink. If you're going to play with a Ouija board, I would 100% do it sober.
Yeah, because number one, you want to remember what it said. Number two, like,
just I feel like that's opening the door to some really bad juju. So just, you know, let's have a clear mind while we're talking
playing with ghosts.
So,
playing with Chipper the ghost.
So we're gonna have to stop talking, like making that joke, because it's gonna end up making me sad.
Okay, I'm sorry. But can we just dress him up as a ghost for Halloween?
Oh, we can 100% do that. He was a pumpkin last year.
Okay, perfect. Sounds great.
Yeah.
We should have a TCGT Halloween party.
Halloween is my favorite holiday.
Me too!
And I can't hear it from anybody who says that Halloween's not a holiday.
No,
or that
Halloween
it's the
is
worst
a holiday.
One, because you're lying in both statements.
And you can get out of my life, please. Bye.
It is. I don't know why it's my favorite. It just is my favorite. It's always been my favorite. I love, and it's funny because I don't like scary stuff. Even I know I have a true crime podcast. I'm fully aware of the irony, but I just like, I don't like scary movies and I don't like getting scared. Like I don't do haunted houses or anything like that. I have before. Mm-hmm. I just like, if I cannot do it, I'm not going to do it.
I understand that.
And Casey's the same way. So match made in heaven. Basically.
Well, Halloween is a week after my birthday, so we can just combine my birthday and Halloween and
it's
have a
also,
TCGT podcast Halloween birthday party.
It's also 4 days after mine and Casey's anniversary, like our wedding anniversary.
No way. It's 11 days after Will's birthday.
Really? So yeah. Much is happening in October. Joshua asked the board if he would become a serial killer.
That is not something that you ask in a Ouija board.
I'm like, if you're asking that, it's because you want to. Not because you're concerned that you're going to. Or that you just think it's a funny question. Like, this is something you're trying to will into the universe.
I mean, if I got the chance to do that, that would not be a question that I would ask it.
Yeah, no, ask it questions like I did. Like, how will I die?
Yeah, I'm probably not going to ask that either because I really don't want to know.
Don't, because if it's something, if it says like plane, like you won't ever want to fly again. Oh, the only reason I still drive is because I have to.
Well, you don't have to worry about it until you're 50.
Yeah, that's the other thing. So
just stop driving when you're 50.
Hey, when I turn, the day I turn 50, it's Uber all the way from there on out. Oh, well, I could still die in an Uber, huh?
Yeah, maybe you should just become, like, I don't know, a stay-at-home dog mom.
I'm also fine with that. Okay, so when the board answered that question about whether he would become a serial killer, apparently it said yes.
Oh, that's not the answer you want to get.
It's the answer Joshua wanted. So, this was also in the police report that both Donald and Joshua believed that Joshua had become possessed because they were talking to Satan himself.
No.
Yeah. Yes.
Never. Ring, yes. Ring, Satan here.
So, on December 20th, 2007, this is the same day. It's just the first time I'm saying the date because I didn't put it at the top.
Thanks Put for it in the middle. Right where it belongs.
And I'm joking. Jeez.
God, Brittany, what is wrong with you today?
I don't know. I'm just like, I don't know. I need to take a nap.
Don't we all?
On December 20th, 2007, the police would get a call from Donald's house, and it was a hang-up call. So they called and immediately hung up. Which I think is actually a really interesting part of this story. And I didn't catch it the first time when I was actually like typing these notes. But now that I just said it, it's kind of interesting. So when the police arrived to Donald's house, Donald and Joshua were attempting to leave. Investigators walked into the house and they said that it was a bloodbath.
And I hate that. Ooh, I hate that.
I know. It's one of my least favorite words, but I had to say it. What?
Is bloodbath one word?
I have it as one word, and it didn't do a little squiggly underneath it, so it must be right.
Okay, I apologize for trying to correct you.
I don't know. I don't know. And the neighbor, I'm assuming the next-door neighbor, they did an interview with NBC and they said, quote, the screaming was like a machine, for lack of a better term. Something agonizing. Someone yelling, pigs must die. Death to all pigs. Things like that. Which is also a really interesting part of the story and kind of makes no sense. So when the investigators got inside, right inside the front door was the body of Donald's 13-year-old sister, Elizabeth.
I wish Elizabeth. You could see my face.
Oh, is your jaw dropped?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was expecting like something different, not his sister.
Yeah. Elizabeth was talking on the phone when Joshua grabbed a kitchen knife and slit her throat, and she was still talking on the phone.
Oh my God.
Which is just like, when I read that, I was like, can you imagine being, I mean, first of all, can you imagine being Elizabeth? That sucks. But, like, can you imagine being the person on the other, like,
side
on the
it.
Phone? Yeah. Like, what you would hear?
That's insane.
Like, that would be awful. And in the back bedroom of the house was Donald's mother, Lori. Lori had walked in as Joshua and Donald were trying to clean up the room after they murdered Elizabeth. When Lori walked in, Joshua saw her and he started chasing her and he stabbed her several times.
You know how I feel about chasing.
I know. It's the worst. He was stabbing her with so much force that the knife that he was stabbing her with.
No, 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 no.
Yeah.
You're going to say that.
So Donald handed Joshua a dumbbell and a meat cleaver so that he could finish killing his mom.
They're possessed. They have to be possessed.
No, I don't think they're possessed. I think that's bullshit. I think that they just were awful kids.
That's awful.
That wanted to do this. Lost my place. Okay. Okay. So when investigators found her, she was still alive, but she died on the way to the hospital. So that's sad. Joshua pleaded guilty to both murders and was sentenced to 40 years in prison. Must not be a death penalty state.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Don't know. I'm surprised he didn't get a life sentence.
That's true. Only 40 years?
At least.
Wait, can you remind me again when this took place?
2007. So 12 years ago.
Not even 12 years ago.
Because it's not December. It was 11 years ago.
So 2047? 40 years in prison from 2007?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yep. And Donald was considered an accomplice because he didn't actually commit the murders himself. Joshua did. So he was offered a plea deal. And he took the deal. And he entered a guilty plea and was sentenced to 9.5 years in prison, even though his surviving family members protested this.
Wow.
Yep. So he's already out.
Wait. He's listening to this podcast? Are you serious right now?
I didn't say all that. And also, if you know this person. Serious.
Did you just hear that?
Yes.
I swear to God, I did nothing. And it just said, yes, I'm serious.
I don't like that.
Wait, hold on. This is so creepy. Okay. All right, continue.
I was just going to say, if you know these people, please don't send them this episode because I don't want an email from them.
I don't either because I'm the one that checks the emails.
Yes. What were the interesting things? Oh, so the hang up call from Donald's house. I wonder who called and why they hung up.
I also wonder that.
Because I don't, obviously his sister would not have been able to.
What about the mom?
No, I don't think she would have been able to.
Huh. I guess I just question the timing on all this.
I think that Donald called and hung up and then they were leaving.
So, like, he was going to make sure that, like, their bodies would be found or they would be found?
I think it almost was probably them trying to do a cover-up. Like, if we call from inside the house, but we're not in the house when they get here, they'll think we weren't here when it happened kind of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I think maybe that's what their plan was, but the police got there hella quick, apparently.
For 2007, that's pretty good, but that's actually pretty current, and they probably did get there really fast.
The other thing that I think is interesting is that what the neighbors said they heard when they said they heard someone yelling, "Pigs must die, death to all pigs," there was nothing about, like, the mom being an officer. Obviously, the 13-year-old sister was not an officer, so I don't know why they would have been. Because, you know, like, police officers are, pigs is a derogatory term for police officers. So, I don't know why they would have been yelling that.
Isn't, like, aren't pigs, like, a very, like, I don't know, a big thing in, like, sacrifice? I don't know. I'll have to do some research on that.
I don't know. I'm not like, pretty sure. I'm not like super into sacrifice, so I'm not like 100% sure, but
I'm pretty sure they're like, I don't know. All I can remember is like the American Horror Story episode or whatever, or season where they were like in Louisiana. Was it Louisiana? And I'm pretty sure it was. And
what
they
season?
Had, it was like the season of the witches or whatever.
Oh, Coven. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were in Louisiana because the, was it the New Orleans axe murderer was.
Yeah. And I in that feel season. Like I remember some like part where there was like pigs involved, but maybe not. Maybe like a pig head or something. I don't know.
There was definitely a bull head.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know. Maybe I'm just making this up.
Maybe we should rewatch the whole season.
And then do a book report on it. A podcast report on it.
The story that I almost picked for today was, I'll just tell it to you quickly because it's not super long and that's why I chose it. And also it wasn't like the headline made it seem like it was more than it actually was. So basically this girl and her friend like formulated a plan to break into her grandfather's house and steal his savings that he kept in his house. And when they went in there, the granddaughter, they were going to like kill him and steal his savings. And I don't know why they had to kill him to steal his savings, but whatever. Not saying that they should have been stealing his savings, but you know, you know what yeah, I mean?
I get what you mean.
So the granddaughter went in there and she came back out and she told her friend, she was like, I couldn't do it. I couldn't kill him. And so her friend was like all disappointed in her. Anyway, they end up killing the grandfather. And the granddaughter told the police that American Horror Story made her do it.
No.
Yeah. No. So when I read the headline that said like murder committed because of American Horror Story obsession or something like that, I thought it was going to be like, I don't know, so, like more closely related
out again.
To American. Oh, I was just saying, I thought that with that being the headline, I thought that maybe like the storyline of American Horror Story would, or one of the, I don't know. I just thought that it would be more closely connected than her just saying the show made me do it.
Yeah. She just got the idea from the show, I guess.
I don't know, I guess. But yeah, so I was going to do that one and then I was disappointed in the story, so I didn't do it.
My goodness. Well, yeah, so. That was a great story.
Thanks.
Do we have anything to close this out with? Follow us on Instagram, True Crime Girl Time Podcast. That's all
yeah.
I have.
Join the Facebook group. As always, if you like us, leave a rating. If you love us, leave a review. If you hate us, leave us alone.
Okay, well, that is it for episode 14, as I am told.
that is the episode.
Hopefully. I don't know. If it's not, whatever. Here's episode 14. Other than that, that's it. So, bye, you guys.
Bye.